When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Stripe Tap to Pay on iPhone came along and changed everything. With Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. No more juggling different methods. Just a simple tap on my iPhone and transactions are complete. What's truly remarkable is how Stripe caters to all my customers' preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Stripe ensures a smooth checkout experience every time. Setting up Stripe was a breeze, taking just minutes to get up and running. From local markets to global retailers, Stripe helped me expand my reach and grow my business with ease. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Daily Tech News Show is made possible by its listeners. Thanks to all of you, including Justin Zellers, Pepper Geese, and Eric Holm. Coming up on DTNS, Google makes a room-sized machine that can do 3D avatars well. Mark Zuckerberg's definition of open may be a little different than yours. And Microsoft's getting rid of the name Office. Aww. And we think it's a mistake. At least I do. This is the Daily Tech News Show for Thursday, October 13th, 2022 in Los Angeles. I'm Tom Merritt.
In lovely Cleveland, Ohio, I'm Rich Straffolino.
Also in Los Angeles, I'm Lamar Wilson.
And I'm the show's producer, Roger Chang.
No, you're not making a mistake. You're not wrong. Sarah Lane was supposed to be back today, but she had a thing come up at the last minute. She'll be here tomorrow. But we are here, and we are ready to go with a few tech things you should know. The quick hits.
Netflix announced its Basic with Ads tier that will launch in Canada and Mexico on November 1st. It comes to the US, UK, France, Germany, Italy, Australia, Japan, Korea, and Brazil on November 3rd. And not to be left out, Spain gets it on November 10th. It costs $6.99 a month in the US and includes 720p HD, meaning the $9.99 a month basic plan that does not have ads will also upgrade to standard from standard def to 720 HD. This comes a month ahead and a dollar cheaper than Disney Plus's ad-supported tier, set to launch December 8th. Pricing on Netflix's ad-free plans will remain the same. The company will partner with Nielsen on audience measurements. So, now we know why Netflix joined the UK's BARB ratings organization.
Oh, that all makes sense now. They need the ratings because they're selling the ads. Sony and Honda announced plans to accept pre-orders for their first joint venture electric vehicle in the first half of 2025. So you're not going to get it for a while. The joint venture is named Sony Honda Mobility. That's, you know, it is what it
sounds
says.
Great.
Yeah. They hope to start deliveries in the U.S. by the spring of 2026 and in Japan in the second half of 2026. Currently no solid plans for a European launch, but hang in there. They might come together. There has yet to be a look at the planned vehicle with no mention of pricing, battery tech, or range. But they have plans to take your pre-order.
Just please trust them. The Wall Street Journal sources say China's state-owned memory chip maker Yangtze Memory Technologies, or YMTC, experienced a freeze in support from key suppliers in light of new technology export restrictions imposed by the U.S. Commerce Department. Both KLA Corp and Lam Research paused support on installed equipment, pulled out staff, and halted new tool installations at YMTC as a result. Sources say these sanctions could cut memory chip firms like YMTC off from upgrades, maintenance expertise, and future technology they need to develop chips. Now, you may remember that SK Hynix already confirmed it received a one-year exemption on these new rules, and it's expected that other U.S. and allied firms will or already have received exemptions. We just don't have confirmation on those.
I got some Matter-related news. Samsung announced that if you own a Galaxy device, you'll be able to onboard Matter-compatible devices to both its own SmartThings and Google Home ecosystems. This comes on top of Matter's multi-admin feature, which lets a device in one ecosystem be controlled by another. Partnership will show any devices already set up with Google Home in the SmartThings app, rather than requiring each device to be set up individually. Samsung says this will simplify device sharing across apps and ecosystems on Android. Of course, that's what Matter's supposed to do. So here it is, starting to do it.
Apple announced it will launch a savings account for Apple Card credit card holders in the coming months in partnership with Goldman Sachs, their longtime banking partner. This account will be used to save daily cashback rewards from the Apple Card. So instead of going into your Apple Wallet, those would go into the savings account, and users will be able to transfer funds into the accounts as well. Apple says this will be a high yield account, but no word on what that interest rate will be.
Yeah, so basically taking daily cash and putting an interest rate on it and letting you move money into it. Kind of cool. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about Avatars, not the James Cameron or the Netflix animated series. Explain, Rich.
Yeah. So, I mean, we've been talking a lot about this weekend in weeks past about virtual avatars, hinting at, you know, making them more responsive to real life facial expressions, having more photorealistic features, or heck, just, you know, adding some legs to them. Nice. Seems to be very popular feature ad, it turns out. But we're not only seeing we're not only familiar with the limits of 2D video calls, but we're kind of tired of them. So 3D chat has some appeal. Even the great cynics among us kind of are sick of looking at just standard Zoom calls. But there has to be a better way, right? Still, do we want to throw what is essentially a helmet to get that 3D experience? Google to the rescue, perhaps. Last year at its I.O. conference, Google showed off Project Starline. It provides a holographic video chat to make it feel like a person is sitting right across from you, as opposed to looking at a virtual avatar. And you don't need to wear anything. You just sit inside a very large immobile booth to get the experience.
Now, The Verge's Jay Peters got to try it out. He said the Starline machine took up most of a small conference room, so it's not small. It was tracking him with more than a dozen cameras and sensors. He described the effect as doing a terrific job making a 3D representation of the person you're talking to. So he and the TechCrunch folks who talked about this seem pretty impressed by it. Project Starline uses a lenticular array of lenses, which is basically the same tech that the Nintendo 3DS used, except a lot more advanced, a lot more going into it. In fact, they can control the lenses and change how the lenses position, which the 3DS certainly couldn't do, so that it can change the display based on where you're looking. It does some eye tracking to optimize the image based on where your gaze is directed.
Yeah, and like we said, Project Starline isn't new in and of itself, but it's been really limited to just booths on Google's campus for employees to use for, you know, one-on-one meetings and that kind of stuff. And it was also shown to more than 100 enterprise partners in beta testing, but at Google's campus. So they had to go there to check it out. Now Google has taken that feedback and is ready to offer Starline in an early access program, letting those partners set up their own calling booths in their offices to get a sense of more real-world challenges with the technology. Presumably, do you have an extra conference room? Salesforce, WeWork, T-Mobile, and Hackensaw Meridian Health will be among those trying Starline out.
Oh, look at WeWork. Still kicking. Yeah. Rumors of their death.
I was saying it.
Exaggerated. Still a lot of questions about Starline. How do you commercialize this? How do you monetize it? Is it just going to be for big companies? Can it handle more than just one-on-one? Right now, they're just showing one-on-one. Can you get a whole group in there? Do organizations need better than good enough video calls to the point that they would want to do this? I'll start. This reminds me of Cisco in 2007, so about 15 years ago, bringing me into a specially created demo room in downtown San Francisco and showing me video calling. And it was impressive. It was a big conference room size thing, had lots of cameras and lighting. It really looked good. I was talking to somebody in New York from Cisco, and it felt like I was talking to them. Of course, now we have that on our phones. It's called video calling on WhatsApp or FaceTime or something like that. So I'm curious if this is just something that leads the way to this technology being miniaturized as well.
Well, the one element I see that could be the problem here is that lenticular display, right? Because all the sensor aspects of this, we've seen this with something. This got me thinking of the Microsoft Kinect, where we went from seeing this in like Dave and Buster size, like event kind of tech demos, to being something that sits on top of your TV, to that same tech being used to power Face ID, you know, in an iPhone, where it's, you know, a 1% the size or whatever of the TV top version.
Exactly.
So like we we've seen that kind of miniaturization and again, maybe miniaturizing the display form factor or something like that solves a lot of those problems. But yeah, that lenticular screen, I feel like that and like that real time tracking, I don't know that's something you can miniaturize in a display, but based on the demo, seeing it, that to me feels like a really interesting way to interact with someone, as opposed to it's less digitally native, but more immediately familiar, right? Like the whole avatar system makes sense if you're living in this, you know, if you're living in a virtual world, or you're operating in that, in that mode all of the time. But for something like, hey, mom, sit on this bench and it looks like we're talking to each other right now, that to me feels like there's, I guess, like less learning, less translation into, as opposed to like have 50 cameras scan your face so you know when my eyebrow moves. That I ultimately, you're kind of getting to that same point either way, right? This kind of more realistic interaction. This is super interesting. It seems like it's way farther off though than, you know, what we've seen from other companies right now.
Yeah. As someone who's owned both the 360 and the Xbox One version, I love that you mentioned liking this to Kinect in a way, because I think if you're going to make this portable or something like everyone can use, like it's really about a device that size, mm-hmm. or that accessible to the average person. Because when I saw the video, well, two things about the video, it appeared like you were visiting someone in prison. That's the first one, and secondly, I don't know. I know they have to go through the layers of when you try things like this out. You got to go to business. Let them figure it out, get it miniaturized, and it goes to the consumer. But I feel like this is something the consumer, like when you watch that video, we get to see grandma gets to see the kids and that kind of, I feel like families would benefit from this far more. And that's why I wish Xbox, you know, or Microsoft in general really didn't give up on the Kinect for consumers part, because I think they may not be getting there, but that idea of being able to kind of model yourself and send that data off, it's actually quite fascinating. And I'm like, yeah, we have the form factor. We need to figure out how to make that accessible for everybody.
Lenticular lenses go into headsets already. That's a thing. Okay. That's a thing that virtual reality headsets use. So there's a path to this not going into your phone, but going into a headset, should a headset become comfortable to wear and become popular, in which case, yeah, you won't need. I mean, yes, your family can still visit you in prison through one of these things at the local courthouse. Like, I could see that. But it could get miniaturized into a headset and be able to do that 3D sense and be able to handle more than one person and still do all the eye tracking. All of that can go to a headset. It's what Meta was showing off. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
All right, The Verge's A.D. Robertson has an article up called "What Does Mark Zuckerberg Think Open Means?" Here's what she's talking about. At this year's Meta Connect event, CEO Mark Zuckerberg reiterated his vision for an open metaverse. It's not a new stance for Zuck or the company, but this is the quote on it. "In each generation of computing that I've seen so far, PCs, mobile, there's basically an open ecosystem and there's a closed ecosystem. I strongly believe that an open, interoperable metaverse built by many different developers and companies is going to be better for everyone." Who could disagree?
Robertson notes that in a conversation with The Verge's Alex Heath, Zuckerberg uses Microsoft as the example of what open is as opposed to Apple. Okay. Zuckerberg used Apple as an example of a closed ecosystem, which he called very tightly integrated, relatively insular. A lot of value basically just flows toward the closed ecosystem over time. He compared this to what he considered an open ecosystem. This is a quote. "In PCs, I think you'd say that Windows during the 90s and 2000s especially was really the primary ecosystem in computing. The open ecosystem was winning." Remember that open ecosystem in the 90s and 2000s from Microsoft? I'm just going to pause here for a moment, maybe wait for some longtime Linux users to stop laughing or throwing things, getting physically ill. I don't know, but Tom, take it away.
All right. Everybody settled down? All right. You know, you're back on your Arch Linux. Okay. Yes. Microsoft in the 2000s was so open that federal regulators almost broke up the company, you know, for practices like dominating browsers to the point that we still can't get rid of IE6. Microsoft even has a website pleading with people to stop using IE6. But to Meta's credit, the Quest is more open than iOS. You can sideload on the Quest because it's based on Android. And the company helped found the Metaverse Standards Forum. So it is participating in an interoperable platform. But it doesn't support you accessing Horizon Worlds on Steam VR, and most of its tools involve getting data into its system. It doesn't let you take your avatar and your friends to another VR chat platform. Lamar, how'd this sit with you?
Yeah, you know, so I used to build computers in the 90s. I worked at Best Buy and Office Depot selling these. And I was like, oh, yeah, it was so open. Like Microsoft was so open and accessible. There was nothing called Red Hat Linux that was available that I totally put on my computer and was actually open to do whatever I want. No, that didn't exist. Not of the sort. But, yeah, Microsoft being open was funny. After I read through this, I'm like, was Apple more closed? Yes. They were Apple in the 90s was known as, oh, that's for schools.
Get the feeling that Zuckerberg is confusing not abusing your market position with openness.
I don't think he understands what abuse is. I don't think he knows that word.
I think this also speaks to the power of Microsoft's recent marketing efforts of, we're this cloud-friendly grandpa of tech now that everybody can like. I do think that's part of it. But also, like, to his point, in the 90s and 2000s, you could drag any EXE file, a lot of malware certainly, and run it on your Windows machine. Like that wasn't locked down. You could throw a new graphics card.
Oh sure. On Microsoft your Intel Windows was more open than Mac OS or OS 8 as a, you know, if we're going
to its detriment, though. Well,
that's when you start getting into the tribal, like, you know, I like the openness. I like the security. It's security through obscurity. Like, but neither of them are open. Like, if we're talking about an open metaverse, we're talking about I can open take source. My avatar and I can be on Steam or I can be on HTC or I can be on Samsung, whoever.
PlayStation.
And I can just wander out into the world and not worried about walled gardens. And Quest is right now a walled garden. By all I can tell.
Yeah, I mean, it really seems like he is very clear. I mean, he wants to say open because that sounds better than we're locking this stuff down. And guess what? We're going to own the whole stack. But like, I think he's just very clearly spelling out, like, here's the model that we're going to go after. Yeah, maybe we don't have the market share to get into regulatory trouble. We will see. But the idea of, hey, we're going to let any big partner that wants to pay us some money to develop, we'll provide you all the tools that you want to get all your services. Hey, Microsoft, you want to bring all of your productivity stuff? Hey, Adobe, do you want to do all this stuff? We have no problem with that. You look at that Metaverse Standards Forum, a ton of huge names on there that I'm sure they would love to have all the software on there for them. They're not going to say no, but you know, the Quest Marketplace is ahead of iOS when you look at in terms of transaction, you know, the amount that they're taking from developers for like things like in-app transactions. So that to me is fundamentally not all that different. It's like, yes, you can use our platform and we can make some money from you using it and you can make money selling software or services on top of that. I think the degree of openness is certainly a lot of window dressing. I also think Zuckerberg is being fairly honest.
He believes what he's saying. Yeah, I think you're right.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No. You go ahead.
Yeah. I ordered it. I ordered the Pro because I'm just from a gamer point of view, a tech point of view. I'm curious about what it's going to do or what the benefit is. But let's be real here. Meta is they're desperate here. They need people to look at them as the gatekeepers of the metaverse. And I think they're super worried that anyone can come in like an Apple or someone and completely take that type of a conversation away from them. They're trying to be the first ones out there. And mm-hmm. so yeah, the appearing open is for that reason. But Meta, Facebook, how far you want to go back, has never had a it's never really been known for just being completely open. They've always had their walled garden. Yeah, yeah. It just makes sense to be like that. And I don't think this is going to be any different. But he has to appear like they have partners. That's why Microsoft was on stage with them.
But they have yeah. partners that you can be closed Absolutely. And have partners. You let people mm-hmm. into your walled garden and then they're your partner. Pay close attention. He's saying an open ecosystem. That's what Microsoft used. He's taking a playbook from Microsoft. Microsoft was in this battle when Mark Zuckerberg was coming up in high school and college. Microsoft is the open platform to Mac's closed platform. He's using mm-hmm. the open ecosystem argument. It is not the same as an open platform. Don't let him get away with that if you're going to have this discussion with anyone. An open ecosystem that. Is very different from an open platform. The internet, email, those are open platforms. iOS is an open ecosystem because they let other developers make apps in it. That is an open ecosystem, at least the App Store part of it. Maybe not iOS, but you get what I'm saying. There's a very big difference between those, and I think that's the importance to understanding this. If you have a thought on that, send it over an open platform called electronic mail to us, feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
The Claude 3 model family from Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. With models at every point on the price-performance curve, you no longer have to make trade-offs between intelligence, speed, and cost. Claude 3 Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Haiku is the fastest and lowest cost model in the market, perfectly designed for high volume, high speed use cases. Join the thousands of enterprises who trust Anthropic to keep them at the frontier. Visit anthropic.com/Claude today.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Stripe Tap to Pay on iPhone came along and changed everything. With Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. No more juggling different methods. Just a simple tap on my iPhone and transactions are complete. What's truly remarkable is how Stripe caters to all my customers' preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Stripe ensures a smooth checkout experience every time. Setting up Stripe was a breeze, taking just minutes to get up and running. From local markets to global retailers, Stripe helped me expand my reach and grow my business with ease. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Germany had unified. So had Yemen. Tim Berners-Lee was setting up a server at CERN to share some documents easily across networks. Mariah Carey's Love Takes Time was topping the charts. Home Alone, the very first one, was dominating the box office, and the search engine Archie was only a couple months old. It was November 1990. I was a program director at WPGU, and something else momentous was about to happen.
My birth. And then after that, Microsoft finally launched what he had announced 2 years before at Comdex, Microsoft Office.
Another birth.
It brought together Word, Excel, PowerPoint into one offering, supercharging Microsoft Works for the enterprise user. God, I haven't heard Microsoft Works in forever. Anyway, for more than 30 years, Microsoft Office has reigned as the dominant productivity suite and second only to Windows as the software of what you think of when you think of Microsoft. So why are we reminiscing, Tom? What's going on here?
Office doesn't have much time left now, Lamar.
No.
Starting in November, office.com will redirect to Microsoft365.com. And in January, on doctor's orders, the Office app for Windows and mobile will become the Microsoft 365 app. Now, the Office name is going to hang on by a thread, though. While Office 365 did get renamed to Microsoft 365 2 years ago, existing Office 365 subscriptions won't be changed for the time being. And if you're real old school, you're not going to notice it at all, because you just got the offline version you paid once for. That suite will still be available as Office 2021 or Office Long-Term Service, Office LTSC. Microsoft has said it will update that version at least one more time. Whether they call that next version Office or not remains to be seen.
But wait, you won't lose your old friends.
Oh, thank goodness.
Yes, they'll just gather under a new name. Microsoft 365 will include Teams, Word, Excel, PowerPoint, Outlook, Loop, Clipchamp, Stream, and Microsoft's new designer app. See, they'll still be around. The Microsoft 365 app will have a feed of meetings and a listing of your files and documents. My God, this sounds boring. Why are we reading this like this?
because it was the only way to make it dramatic. No, I think this is a mistake for Microsoft to do. But before we get to that, any fond feelings for Office? You know,
yeah. I mean, I have a fond feeling. Just I deployed it. You know, through again, I had a computer business where I was building, so I deployed Office through there to customers, but more fondly at a local school through the school district was having to push out, you know, Office to all the different workstations throughout my local school. And then I actually helped out some other schools. So I remember it finally actually been the licensing being what, $10 and getting to buy it for that because yeah. The retail version was $400. And I was able to get a license because I was in education. Oh, I missed those times. The $10 Office. Yes.
I mean, I remember it, like in the late 90s, like just that being the standard, like using anything else, you had to measure like how short it came up, like whether it was WordPerfect would just like format your stuff weird, or you'd use something like OpenOffice maybe a little later and say, okay, what kind of compatibility issues are there? Like, okay, it gives you the basic functionality, but like Excel formulas get weird or something like that when you're trying to move between the two. So yeah, just kind of being that productivity standard bearer so that even if you weren't using it, you were kind of measuring against it in a lot of ways.
Yeah. And yet I think it's a mistake to lose the name Office. I think you should have just put Office as part of Microsoft 365. Office means something to people in a way. Granted, Word probably means something more than Office. More people know Microsoft Word and probably call other things that aren't Microsoft Word, because it's a word processor. It's, you know, it's been genericized. But Office, you immediately know, like, oh, that's the stuff I use for work. You know, it's the spreadsheet. It's the word processor. It's the PowerPoint. It's my email. And calling it Microsoft 365 is not intuitive, to the point that people are going to still look for Office, and obviously search engine optimization will keep them pointed at Microsoft 365. But I think Microsoft 365 should be the service, and the Office suite is one of the things you get in it. I wonder if they'll change their mind on this down the road, because this makes as much sense as changing the Xbox to be the Microsoft game thing.
But here's why I don't think this is a mistake. This is Microsoft already recognizing that they're kind of creating these. It's almost like Adobe Creative Cloud. It's very similar. They're creating this interwoven network of this like productivity soup that you can just kind of dip your hand. It's like
Adobe changed the name of Photoshop to Creative Cloud thing.
But Photoshop is Word. Photoshop is Word. Lightroom is Excel. You see what I'm saying?
You're right.
So, but like this really struck me with the designer app, where really that is, I feel like that's not really meant to be a standalone thing. That's meant to spruce up your PowerPoints. That's meant to like to be used across all these other services. And just like when you're using, you're using Audition and it asks you if you want to export this to Premiere, and it all just works very seamlessly and you can kind of bounce between the two. Well, most of the time it works very seamlessly. I feel like with a lot of the stuff that Microsoft is doing with kind of interactive elements that you can share amongst other people and they can live in multiple spaces, I don't think they really care about Office in that way. Also, there's a whole like remote work, I think, kind of wording semantic game that they're playing, but really is about like, we want this to be this productivity soup, and the individual products themselves, I don't think matter to them long term.
Yeah, I think they're trying to stick Microsoft into the name. Go ahead, Lamar.
I was going to say something similar to that, and you know, basically, what is an office anymore? Maybe that's what you know they're thinking. But I was going to be against you, Tom. I actually, I'm coming around to understanding yet. Yeah, when you think of these products, you're thinking of work. I don't think of pleasure when I think of Excel. Some people do. Some people think have extreme pleasure with Excel, and I think you. I think you have
We're
a problem.
We're not here to judge. We're not here
no,
to.
No, no. I just judge. You're I just judge.
You. Except Lamar.
I did judge. Yeah. Yes. Get help. Okay.
No, I could see a better argument for changing it to Microsoft Work 365 or something. But even then, you've got Ooh. A valuable brand in Office. When people think software in Office, they think Microsoft. Like it just it seems yeah. like a mistake. To lose that. I totally get the logic of what they're doing. I do, which is like, this is more than just Office. This is what Microsoft provides to you 365 days a year. And we'll change the name in leap years. But yeah, I think Office is a very valuable name that they might regret kicking to the curb, which might be why they're not totally kicking it to the curb with the downloadable version. We'll see. And they're holding on to it so they can keep that trademark. All right, let's check out the mailbag.
Yeah, we got this really great email from Brian. He says, Tom and Robert were talking about new TV tech during last Friday's show, and Robert talked about quantum dot tech and how it's used to make colors pop. Well, it turns out there's another use for quantum dot tech, improving solar panel energy capture rates. Quantum dots are being investigated to see how much more energy a current solar panel can generate using this tech. Quantum dot tech can be added as another layer on solar panels, and using this tech, some of the blue light and ultraviolet light can then be down converted by the dots to a usable wavelength and then be used by the panel to generate more electricity. The side benefit is the panels won't get as hot due to the wasted energy of the higher energy wavelengths not being used. So when it happens, there will be two benefits. Obviously I'm not a solar panel scientist, but that is super awesome. I love it.
This makes perfect sense. We've got a little more that explains some of this quantum dot stuff if you want to check that out. But Brian, thank you for this. I had no idea that it makes sense, but I had no idea that this was happening in the solar area. So I highly look forward to more good information on solar coming from Brian down the road. All right. That's going to do. Oh, sorry, Rich, did you have something else on that?
I just said most definitely too late.
Thank you, Lamar Wilson, for being here today. We appreciate it. Sir. What you got going on to let folks know about?
Yeah, I make short-form vertical content across networks. So if you can go to lamarwilson.com, it's Lamar with two R's. Pick the network of your choice, and I'll have great unboxings in tech, video games, and this upcoming Microsoft Box thing that has not been announced yet that will replace the Xbox. Ooh. Oops, did I spill Whoa. That? Oh,
wow.
Okay.
Really?
Oh, no.
You were a little too open. With your
yeah, much like Microsoft is. Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. Thanks.
Well, and also thanks to our brand new boss, Russell, who just started backing us on Patreon. Thank you, Russell.
Russell. Why can't you, more of you, be like Russell? I know a bunch of you are, but come join the fun. Patrons, stick around. If you're a patron, patreon.com/DTNS, you get the extended show. Good day, Internet. We're all going to keep this conversation going. You can also catch us live Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, 2000 UTC. Find out more at dailytechnewsshow.com/live. Back tomorrow with Rob Dunwood, Sarah Lane, fingers crossed, and Len Peralta. Talk to you then.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at Ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.